Tested live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Career Corner
on Kaya Biz.
Yep, we shift gears now to take a look at Careers Corner. And this time around, how it is that we're developing that leadership. How it is that we're looking for candidates and individuals who are going to productively contribute to our economy. Well, in order to do that, you need to find them right in the job market. That means individuals who have studied, who have trained, and are fully equipped to make sure that they enter the working environment with the necessary experience, or at least open-mindedness to actually be productive in the spaces that they're employed in. This does speak to making sure that when you apply for a job and essentially your CV is evaluated together with your qualifications, that all things are in check. But are they? Jennifer Barkhuizen, Head of Marketing at Managed Integrity Evaluation, joins us now to help us unpack a key theme around qualification fraud, which appears to be on the rise and perhaps mistaken. That is a conversation that we're going to have now with Jennifer Barkhuizen. Going to speak to her to tell us more. Jennifer, thank you so much for your time and welcome to the show.
Good evening, Gugu. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. I'm excited to speak to you about this conversation. It does allow us to take a breather from the noise that we've seen from a global point of view. But maybe let's just start with the theme of, I guess, background checks, right? That's still something that's very prevalent, especially when working for key institutions and maybe in very specific positions. Talk to us about that before we take a look at some of the emerging trends.
Yes, most definitely. Background screening should be a very important part of any recruitment process. And this is whether you're working for a big international organization, it doesn't matter which industry, it really does help companies employ the best people for the position that they have, positions that they do have available. And I mean, you were just having a very interesting conversation with regards to global markets, but unfortunately, the South African economy is also affected. And due to this, we have seen hiring slowdowns in the South African market. And companies need to make sure that when they are hiring, the people that they're hiring are the right person, first of all, and they have the qualifications, and that the credentials that they have, you know, whether it's the ID number or qualification, first of all, you know, are they who they say they are? And secondly, do they have the qualifications, and are they the right fit for your organization and for the position?
That's important, right? Making sure that you are who you are, that you're the right fit, and that you have can fulfill the right position. This often speaks to the right qualification. And we've heard previous conversations where individuals within, you know, public profiles, very important roles in terms of board positions or executive leadership in important institutions have been felt perhaps to be lacking or uncertain in terms of their academic qualifications. But do we still see that there's a rise in fraud, qualification fraud,
Yes, no, we most definitely have seen this ongoing trend over the last couple of years. And it has emerged from our statistics. We recently released the MIE Background Screening Index. And from the qualification fraud taking place at the moment, matric certificates come out almost on top, with over 7% matric certificates being falsified and provided during the recruitment process. When those certificates are checked, it comes back as being a falsified document.
Help us understand now, when it is, if the document is falsified, in terms of the results, the outcome, pass, fail, the percentage of points that they got, or someone who actually didn't even get to the level of matric, then coming up with a fake matric certificate.
Yes, we've seen all kinds of things. So there's instances where people don't, you know, they don't have a matric, they didn't, you know, go through the whole process, and they simply just buy a certificate. Mm-hmm. You tell the person that you're buying it from, you want your name and your surname and your ID number on a matric, you know, give you decent marks, and then they provide you with a. Unfortunately, with this technology available today, it's become quite easy to falsify these documents. And we've also seen a growing trend that it's now available on not only online, but on social media as well. You can do a simple search with saying buying a matric certificate on social media. Mm. And, you know, there's pages that comes up. And then a second form of fraudulent documents that we have seen is where you do have your matric certificate, but your results are not what you want it to be. And then you would go in and you would change the results. So you're still tampering with a document. And, you know, a lot of people will take a document at face value. It looks authentic. It looks like the matric certificates look, and you're happy with it. However, you would not know if that certificate has been bought online or if the results has been tampered with. And that's why it's very important for companies to go through the verification process to make sure that it is actually a valid document. Because if you think of it, if you are presenting your matric certificate where your results would directly impact either the position you would, or, you know, the position you're applying for, or maybe to further your studies, if that step is skipped, you might be letting a person into either your institution or into your organization where they weren't really qualified for that position or for that further studies or whatever the case might be. So don't always just think that you need to look at only the most recent qualification that person obtained. It's very important to make sure, you know, you check everything. And then also along with that, your ID, make sure that that person is who they say they are. You know, if you are employing somebody that needs to have a vehicle, own a vehicle, drive around, make sure that they do have a valid license. Because if anything comes out, it can really hurt you as an organization or hurt your reputation at the end of the day.
Got you. I'm keen to understand, as you mentioned, matric certificates largely top the list in terms of fraudulent qualifications. What do we see, I guess, within the tertiary band, whether it's undergrad or postgrad? Does that tend to feature as prominently as at all?
It does. It does. It's not overlooked by people. The percentage is not that high. But we have found that, you know, many institutions offer tertiary courses. You know, it's a short course that you do during your studies. And we've also found that we've come across a lot of misrepresentation with these short courses. You know, because a lot of people do these short courses, which, you know, the tertiary courses, to further themselves and better themselves. And other people might just want to embellish their CV a bit. So again, it's important for us to do the verification of these type of qualifications, but the percentage of the formal qualifications when you're looking at your postgraduate, for instance, it is a bit lower, but unfortunately, there's also instances where people can obtain this. We've seen in the media, as you've mentioned previously, high profile people who claim to have a degree from an international institution, you know, it's a fraudulent document, unfortunately. And again, you need to make sure that you check this, that it is authentic.
Got you. Let's talk about criminal backgrounds. And this one's also very vast, right? Because just because I haven't necessarily committed culpable homicide doesn't mean that, and never spent a night in prison, doesn't mean that I might not have a criminal record, right? This is typically where I understand those speeding tickets might catch up.
Yes,
with
and especially now with the demerit system, you know. But yeah, the criminal record checks for MIE is actually the most requested checks for all the background checks that we conduct. We've seen this for a few years in a row. And yeah, it's very important for companies as well to keep their workforce safe. So, you know, go through the process. And, you know, there is also the different levels of criminal record. I'm not saying having one is great. But if you are going through the recruitment process and you have something against your name, a criminal record, it might be 10, 15 years old, it's very important for you as an individual to disclose that during your recruitment process, either to the recruiter or to the company itself. It might have been something silly that you've done when you were students, and unfortunately it's following you. So it's very important to also disclose that type of information, because otherwise your integrity can be put in question if it comes out after the fact. But we've about close to 4% of candidates from the over 930,000 criminal checks that MIE conducted either didn't know they have a criminal record, or they lied about having one. They didn't disclose that. And it seems like a small number, but, you know, it's important to know this and for people to understand. So if you are arrested and not necessarily, you know, you don't appear in court, but you were asked to pay a fine. If you pay that fine, it's an admission of guilt.
Sure.
And you will end up with a criminal record. So make sure what's happening with you know, your status. And if you have a criminal record, which is not a major offense, you can also get it expunged. If it's about 10 years old, you can get your criminal record expunged. And, you know, if you want to, you know, have a clean slate, I urge individuals to look into that if it was a minor offense.
I was just going to emphasize that's so important, right? Because sometimes you think, well, I paid it and I forgot about it. It's gone. It's non-existent. But as you say, there's an admission of guilt. And maybe sometimes you might be involved in some other activity where legally you were caught. Well, not caught, but I guess corrective action was taken in terms of the law. And yes, you need to be held accountable for that. I'm just keen to understand, especially for those who might be in the job market right now or, you know, other opportunities, how do you double check that criminal background check as an individual before your employer does?
So if you want to make sure that you have a clear background, you as an individual can do it on yourself. You can make sure that your qualifications are, you know, you can check your qualifications and see what comes back from the institutions. You can do a criminal record check on yourself. You simply just submit your fingerprints, and that's sent to AFISWITCH, which uses SAPS technology, and they will give you feedback on that. So if there is something that you just want to confirm on your background, especially when it comes to criminal verifications, there is a process that you can follow as an individual. It's not necessarily just a company that can submit it for you.
Got you. Let's talk about another key theme, social media, which people tend to forget. We need to be a lot more mindful about what we post. So what typically raises red flags here?
Yes, most definitely. So we've really seen an uptake for social media screening over the last 3 to 4 years. And it's quite shocking if you see the statistic that comes through in terms of the information that is found. So looking at the number of verifications that was done through MIE just for social media, close to 70% of the content was flagged for discriminatory remarks. And that's quite a high number, because people don't think, you know, what that behavior can be. If you make a comment towards somebody's gender, age, race, that is all linked to the discriminatory remarks. And a company wants to make sure that they have a better understanding of an individual, because if you have a person that goes and makes remarks on social media, and they have on their that they work for company A or company B, and they are really taking it far with the comments that they are making, that will have a direct impact on that company, and it can severely harm their reputation. So companies are no longer just relying on, you know, your qualifications and your CRIM, not saying that it's not important, but they just want to have a better understanding, you know, with what are you putting out on social media. And I just want to reiterate this, that it's not always just bad. Except social media can sometimes paint a picture of a person for a company that, you know, it will aid them in making a decision. You know, looking at your social media, it could basically be the last stick to say, listen, okay, yes, this is the person that we want working for us. But coming back to the remarks or the comments or the photos or content that people share, always just think twice, because what people forget is if you share information online, it's out there for the world to see. If you don't have the highest privacy settings on your social media accounts, it's out there. It's difficult to get it back. And, you know, again, technology, if somebody posts something a few seconds later, there's probably 1,000 screenshots of this, and it's being shared on WhatsApp, and it's being shared on email, and it does come out. So even if you go back and you do hide it, the evidence is still there.
100%. I think that's so important for us to pay attention to. There's other methods that I guess you also need us to highlight, which is financial stability or instability. So often people forget that their credit records do play a critical role within their job search. Maybe tie that in for us, including the shift in the environment where we do see the future of background screening incorporating a lot more AI, biometrics, and other themes that have come to the fore.
Yes, no, most definitely. So if you're looking at a credit check or adverse financial history, we've seen a sharp increase in the risk doing credit checks. Now, that is not necessarily that people are mismanaging their funds, but you are seeing that there's more judgments and defaults against the person. And, you know, that is also directly tied to the tough economic times that we've faced. If you're looking at the high unemployment, and that is also expected to increase this year. So, you know, it just shows that people are struggling financially. And where a credit or adverse financial history check comes in, when it plays a very important role, is specifically for people that is being employed in a position where they will be handling cash or finances. will be able to get a full picture of an individual. And, you know, I spoke about it a bit earlier. So for a company making a decision, especially in our economic times, they're not necessarily screening, you know, all 10, 15 CVs that might come across their desk for an available position. They would rather look at spending budgets to that extent that you say, okay, today we are just checking qualifications and that's good enough. You still need to get that full picture of the candidate to make sure that you are getting the right person, and you are also keeping your workforce safe, and you're protecting your reputation as an organization. So look at their qualifications, look at their ID, make sure that it's valid, look at their financial history, their credit history, if they are in a position with handling cash or finances. Look at their social media if you want to get them to get them spending less in terms of, you know, not vetting everybody, but rather the shortlisted candidates, but make sure that you tick the boxes with the people that you are taking seriously for a specific position. And we've also seen an increase in employment reference checks and employment confirmations, making sure that, you know, the information that is available on your CV and your references that you provided is also actually true and correct.
So much to consider. Jennifer, you've been an absolute pleasure to speak to this evening. We really appreciate your time, ma'am.
Thank you so much, and have a wonderful evening.
And a wonderful evening to you too. That is Jennifer Barkhuizen, Head of Marketing and Managed Integrity Evaluation, MIE, joining us to help us understand some of the key themes that are considered when you go for a job, apply for a job, and essentially get a background screening done on you. Fake credentials clearly on the rise, especially when it comes to qualifications, largely linked to matric certificates, believe it or not. And as we've heard, criminal background checks. Please get that checked out, guys. Yeah, as you've heard, it's not you running into a bank with the firearm and actually robbing the institution and then facing jail time. Sometimes it's the small things, the speeding fine, where you might have paid as an admission of guilt after having appeared in front of a magistrate or in a court. All of those small things do linger and perhaps can serve as a record, or even something you might have done more in your youthful years coming up to catch up with you.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.